Praise God. God is good. Amen. And it's always good to get into God's Word and to see what God's Word says to us. Because as we learned last week, God's Word is important. Amen. And we need to have the Word of God operating in our hearts. You know, God gave us His Word for a reason. And it wasn't just so that we could have something to... Nowadays, people don't even do that because now it's a lot of things are electronic. But He didn't just give us this nice book with pages, with words, and leather bound and all these things so that we could have something to bring with us. He actually gave it so that it could get on the inside of our hearts. Because there's something different about the Word of God that's different about anything else, and that is that God's Word is alive, and it is the life and breath of God, that when it gets into our heart, it has the potential, when we act upon it, when we believe it, to produce what it promises. And so we looked at that last week, so I'm not going to go and reteach that. So anyway, whoever was not here last week, you can listen to that message. I know I'll have it on our website. And so you can download that message and listen, pass it around, amen. But tonight we're going to look at the balance of grace and faith. And we're going to look at what does it mean, grace? What does faith mean? And all these things, how do they work together? Because you know, if we don't have understanding, we cannot see the Word of God produce in our lives what it could produce. We have to have understanding. Without understanding, if you look at Matthew chapter 13, when the seed was sown, it says the devil was able to come and snatch away immediately the seed that was sown because they did not understand. And so often we receive preaching, and I'm not here in this church, but a lot of times, especially if you turn on Christian television, you see a lot of preaching and a whole lot of excitement, but when you boil it down, there's nothing left. So it doesn't do anything for people. They get excited. They go home excited for a little while, but then they say, how come it doesn't last? Well, there was no true seed of the Word of God that was planted inside of the heart that produced understanding so that people could grab a hold of it, use it, and see it work in their lives. That's why God gave teachers to the body of Christ. I don't know if you noticed, but if you go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it says God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. For what reason? For the equipping and the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry. Because when you come to Christ, we're going to see this, you're already mature in your spirit, but yet you don't have all the understanding yet to walk it out. It says very clearly that God gave these gifts so that we would be perfected, that we would be equipped for the work of the ministry. See, every single one of us has work to do. And I'm not talking about how you save yourself. That's settled and done. We're moving on. You know, Steve keeps saying, Pastor keeps saying, transition's over. What does that mean? It means you're moving on. Amen. For the work of the ministry. Not works to save yourself. That's done. That should be settled. We don't save ourselves. But we were saved, we're going to look at this in a little bit, for good works. We're not saved by good works, we're saved by grace through faith, but we're saved for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should do them. So obviously, it wasn't something that we do that produces favor with God. It was something that God planned before we ever showed up. That's very important to understand. But let's go ahead and just turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. And this outline could be a lot longer. We could actually spend a lot of time on this topic. But we only have one night to go for it. And so we're laying the foundation. You will receive enough, even if you haven't been in this church, if you haven't heard these things, you will receive enough for it to change your life. Amen. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, let's go ahead and read verses 8 through 9. And it says, for by grace have you been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So this verse is telling us that we're not saved by grace and we're not saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. That's very important to understand, because there's many camps in the body of Christ. There's the grace camp, and there's the faith camp. And they both, the grace camp says, we don't have to do anything because God's done it everything. And they sit down and nothing really changes in their life. And they're just waiting to go to heaven. Because God is sovereign. And whatever God planned, it has nothing to do with me. It will just happen automatically. That's a lie from the devil. God's will and God's plan for your life will not happen automatically. You have to believe it and cooperate and agree with God. He does the work, but we cooperate with Him. We agree with Him. Remember last week we looked at meekness. Receive with meekness, the implanted word, again, which is able to save your souls. Meekness simply means agreeing with God. It is not weak. And you let everyone beat you down and you're a meek person is someone who says, that's what God says, that's true. I don't care what my experience says. I don't care what my father taught me. I don't care what I learned in school. I don't care what it looks like. The Bible says, and that's what truth is. That's a meek person. Not a weak person, a meek person. So that's what we have to become. We have to believe what God's word says, and then we have to act upon it. So here it says, we're not saved by grace alone. We're not saved by faith alone. The faith crowd, they always emphasize what you must do, the works you must do. You must confess 800 times. And people confessed 800 times, and it still didn't work, and they get upset, and they think God failed. And that's not what happened. See, the thing of why God... there's so much I can say. But there's a reason why God cannot bless our works when we're trusting and looking to what we're doing to produce what God promised. And that's because it will give us the wrong idea, and it will reward us, and we can take credit, and we can boast, and we can have pride. Think about that. When we go to heaven, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, it says that Jesus became for us, and it has a big long list. One of them was righteousness. He became for us sanctification. In other words, Jesus is your holiness. It says all these things. And it says, so that no one should glory in the flesh. You see, if there was anything that we had to do to move God, or if you confess this 800 times and God will move, or if you fast for 15 days and show God you meant business, show God you're serious, because God doesn't know whether you're serious or not. You know, the Bible says God sees the heart. He knows when you're serious, even when you He knows when you're serious or not serious, even when you think you are or you're not. Confession. The best thing that confession can do, confessing the word, is to get you to finally believe it. It has nothing to do with convincing God. I remember one time I had a person tell me, we need to get, and I kind of hesitate to tell, but it was about our mailing list, and we need to get before God, and we need to pray over every single person on your mailing list, and we need to say, God, speak to all these people and all these things, and so these people will give. And I said, I'm not doing none of that. I don't have to convince God what He needs to do. God needs to convince us what He's already done and what we need to do in response to that. I said, that'll change your life. You have to get this straight. See, so God provided for us salvation, everything we need. I hope I get to all these verses, but God provided everything that we need through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If it wasn't provided in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it has not been provided for you, and you have no business going after those things and believing God for those things. And we'll see this in a minute. Maybe I'll be able to clarify that. But we have to understand that you're not saved by grace alone, you're not saved by faith alone, you are saved by believing or faith in what God, through Jesus Christ, has provided for us on the cross. Grace. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. And we're just laying the foundation here, and we're going to get into some examples in Scripture. Hopefully I'll get into some examples in my personal life. I hope I get to all those things. to show you how grace through faith works. Folks, when you understand that God's already provided for you by His grace, and all you need to do is believe it and act upon it, it changes the way you approach your Christian life. Because until that time, you're doing all these things, and you're putting all of your energies into trying to be good enough for God to bless. But once you recognize that God's already blessed before you ever showed up, it takes the pressure off. And now you get that out of the way, you just go aggressively for what God's already provided. See, as long as the devil can lie to you and get you thinking that you don't deserve God's goodness, and guess what? He's right. Next time, just agree with the devil. Say, thank you, devil, for being my good friend and reminding me I don't deserve God's goodness. I don't deserve His grace, but thank God for His grace. Thank God that God wants to give it to me anyway, and you don't have any part in this. No wonder you're so upset. Sometimes you need to let the devil encourage you. See, the devil whispers in your ear, and that's why you need to know the word, so that you know when it's the devil speaking, because he speaks to you in first person. You think it's your own voice, your own thoughts, or heaven forbid, you think it's God's voice. You just need to agree with the devil. You're right, devil. Thank God for Jesus on the cross. Thank God that He provided this. It has nothing to do with my goodness. It has everything to do with His goodness. Now I'm just going to go for it. That'll change the way you approach life. You know what's so powerful about the message of the cross and what Jesus did on the cross? You know what's so powerful about it? Have you ever thought about it? It's that He already did it. What if I told you, you never heard the gospel before, and I tell you all the great things God's going to do? Hadn't done it yet, but He's going to. You wouldn't have the same kind of faith. Because what if this is just a fairy tale? What if He doesn't come? What if I don't add up? But when you say, no, He's already done it. While you were His enemy, while you were a sinner, He did this. All of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute. If He's already done this, then I might as well just receive it. Here's something that'll set you free. You're not good enough for God's grace. You never were good enough for God's grace, and you never will be good enough for God's grace, but God wants to give it to you anyway. You should get up and think about that every day. Because you know what? It'll stop the arguments you have with yourself. I didn't pray enough. You're right, you didn't. I didn't read the Bible enough. You're right, you didn't. It has nothing to do with it. That's not why you pray and read anyway. That's what we're going to look in the future lessons. But we should be in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you have peace with God? Through Jesus. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know why so many Christians don't seem to be standing? Because they're not rooted and grounded in grace and rooted and grounded in love. When your focus is all about how you are doing, you're not going to be able to stand. Because eventually, you're going to fail. Eventually. But here it says, we've been justified by faith. In other words, we, by believing that what Jesus did, we have peace with God through what Jesus did. And we have access to the Father by faith into this grace in which we stand. This is all centered around Christ and us believing what Jesus did. Can you see it? Let's go on. Let's look at the next section, B. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. I'm running out of time again in the first session, but that's all right. I cut my second portion short, if you notice. Titus chapter 2. We're going to show you from Scripture that grace alone does not save you. To some people, that sounds like heresy. But grace alone does not save you if you don't believe it. We're going to look at some verses that show this. Titus chapter 2, and let's look at verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation. So we're not talking about just some grace. I love how God puts the word. I love how God breathed upon Paul And he makes sure that you don't just say, well, it's grace, but it's not talking about the grace that brings... No, the grace that brings salvation, he's talking about that in context. And he says, the grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men, not some men. All men. That's what the Bible says. 1 John 2:2, if you can put that up there for me. 1 John 2:2 says, that he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And again, because so many Christians say Jesus only died for us, it's only talking to us, he puts in to destroy that argument, and not for ours only, but for also for the whole world. And there's a reason why God put that there, because God knew that there was going to be this whole section of the body of Christ that believes that you have nothing to do with God's saving you. And that's true. But where they get an error is that God picks and chooses who's saved and picks and chooses who's damned. And there's nothing you can do about it. And so God only died for those who are his people. He didn't die for the world. Maybe you've never heard this, but that is what's taught in many circles. This verse dispels that. So the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So even though God's grace has been freely made available to all people, not all people are saved because not all people will believe. And there's different reasons why some people won't believe. One, they haven't been told anything yet. Now that's sad to me. People don't believe yet because they haven't been told. But there are some people that just don't care. You tell them about the goodness of God, they don't care. And I don't even want to go where I was about to go, because then I'll bring up a whole lot of questions, so I won't do it. But you know, there's some people that no matter what you do, they just don't care. Well, so what if hell's real? Who cares? They're just indifferent. You try many different ways. You try to bring the goodness of God to them. They don't care. They don't care about love. God loves you. Who cares? Don't you know? Who cares? And it's like, man, this is frustrating. There's just some people, for whatever reason, they just don't want to believe. Now, I believe some of those people are thinking on the midnight hour when they're laying in their bed. And so maybe you've sown some seeds. So don't be discouraged. Amen? But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, I don't want to go there, but we know it. Jesus said that narrow is the gate that leads to destruction. And there are many on it. Broad is the way, sorry. Broad is the way, wide is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many on it. You know what the problem with the wide highway is? The wide road, the wide way, you know what the problem with it is? Is that all of the street signs and posts and all of the markings say heaven this way. That's the problem with it. It says this is the way to life. They're all lies because the devil paved that road. But it says narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate. And Jesus said, I'm the gate. I'm the door. Again, no man comes to the Father but by me. That's what he said. I'm the way, the truth, and life. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. And that difficult word is not talking about you got to save yourself. Okay, it's a Greek word. It can be translated as difficult. But it's more like constrained. It's narrow. It's just there's not many ways to this thing. There's only one way. It's like there's one tunnel. And only one person can fit through it at a time. So in other words, you can't bring your whole family with you. They each have to believe for themselves. That's kind of like the idea it's given here. It's in which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Who are the few? Those who will believe. Amen? So let's look at what grace is, because we're saved by grace through faith. So let's look at what grace is. And there's so many things we could say about grace. There's many definitions. But one of the things we need to understand is that grace cannot be earned or it's not grace. Romans chapter 11, let's look at verse 6. Romans 11:6 says, and if by grace, then it's no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Now, you may have to meditate on that verse a little while. But it's really straightforward. He's not trying to be confusing. He's saying it's either by grace or it's by works. It's not by grace and works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. See, work is what you earn. You get paid. If you work for someone and you say, you work, I'll pay you this amount of rand each month. And so when it comes down to the end of the month, or if they pay you bi-monthly or however they pay you here, and he has your pay slip, your pay, whatever, however they do it, they probably transfer it into your account or whatever. But if they say, here you go, I just want to bless you with this. You say, you're not blessing me with anything. I've earned this. Who do you think you are? I earned this money. As a matter of fact, it's short. That's why you wanted to say, you're blessing me with this. Right? So it's not a combination. You're either saved by grace or works. Not a combination of the two. That's why the Bible says, let he who glory, let him only glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That no flesh shall boast in his sight. Why is it saying that? Because if there was anything we had to do personally to qualify us to be saved, then in eternity we could say, thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. But I fasted and prayed and I confessed and I did this and I did that. And Jesus would have to say, you're right. Well done. You did your part. Now there is a part that we have to do. That's called believing. If you don't believe, you don't receive. Like that old saying that goes in the church. Believe and receive, or doubt and do without. It's pretty simple, and most of the time it works exactly that way. But sometimes there's a little more detail that needs to be talked about. But grace, and the next point is grace, is something that God did for you independent of you. Romans 5:8 really plays this out and shows this to us. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, not after we got our act together and showed God we really meant it. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. I just want to point out enemies. Now there's so much more to go in this verse. I don't have time for that. But notice, Paul said, when you were an enemy, Christ died for you. That was independent of you, wasn't it? God's grace made the provision for your salvation before you were even born, before you could do anything to deserve it. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. He died once and for all. He already provided the work. He's already provided the provision. But we had to believe in what Christ did. And when we do that, we appropriate and receive everything that Christ wanted to give us when Jesus died for us on the cross. And the rest of the Christian life is not trying to figure out how to get God to move, but rather figure out what God's given us and learn how to walk in it. Big difference. Major, major difference. Another thing we need to see is that grace, God's grace, is consistent and constant towards everyone. It is. It never stops. But our perception is not consistent and constant. That's the problem.